Some of you who like to watch the Discovery Channel may be familiar with a show called Man vs. Wild. Anybody seen Man vs. Wild? A few folks have. Well, in Man vs. Wild, this host, if you want to call Bear Grylls the host, he gets dropped, kind of literally, in the middle of some interesting wilderness places. And he uses his cunning and his skill, all the military and survival techniques that he has to survive and thrive in the midst of these extreme settings. I've seen photographs of him in the desert, in the rainforest. I've seen photographs of him in the Amazon jungle and in places where there is no food except insects. So Bear Grylls is there in the wilderness. And so I wondered, as I thought about this, what makes a wilderness? And I realized that a wilderness is an unfamiliar place that's uncomfortable. It's a hard place to be in. And there's often suffering that comes along with this survival, and it takes all your wits to be able to make it out alive. Thankfully, through the duration of the show, Bear Grylls did make it out of the wilderness alive each season. But I wonder, have you ever encountered wilderness? If you've been a Boy Scout, you probably have encountered true wilderness, whether that's on a mountain or in a valley, or whether it's at a place like Camp Philmont, which is maybe your real Man versus Wild moment. But what about the rest of us? I'm not a camping kind of person. Wilderness for me is like a 2-star hotel, not a 4-star hotel. So where is it that we experience the unfamiliar and the uncomfortable, the suffering, place where we need to survive? When have we been in a wilderness, maybe not literally, but perhaps symbolically or metaphorically? The world today feels like a wilderness at times, because it seems like things get turned upside down and backwards, and they become unfamiliar and uncomfortable and filled with suffering. Why, you turn on your morning television news and you expect to see the face of a trusted host, and you find out that they've been fired for sexual harassment. And you expect actors and directors and senators and congressmen to all use their power for the best and the good, and you find out that they use it to take advantage and hurt those who are less powerful. And so in the hearing of this news, in the hearing of this upside down, uncomfortable, backwards way of life, it can resurrect ancient hurts, or perhaps not so ancient hurts, of our own past sexual harassment. And as women and men feel empowered and freed to say, me too, it can become a wilderness. But wilderness can come in other ways as well. I think about those who are finishing up final exams of their semesters in college, or preparing for final exams in high school, or filling out college applications, or going to grad school, or getting new jobs. Those are all wilderness times. Or how about those who suddenly have a new health concern and they have to navigate the healthcare system? Talk about a wilderness. How do you live into this diagnosis or live with something like cancer or kidney failure or Parkinson's disease, arthritis, or any number of debilitating illnesses? It's a wilderness, uncomfortable, unfamiliar, a place of suffering where it takes all your wits, it feels like, to survive. And then there are lost relationships, lost jobs, lost family members, all of which can plunge us, just as on the television show Man versus Wild, into a place of wilderness where survival is not a given, and the territory unfamiliar, and fear and discomfort ever present. We might wish, when we're in those places, that it would be simply a 60-minute TV show, but instead, it's the reality that we live with day in and day out. And I guarantee you, if you are not in a wilderness right now, you know what I'm talking about. You don't have to be very old or have lived much life to know what wilderness feels like. And so then we come to the season of the year, and it's the most wonderful time of the year, they tell us. It's the holly jolly season of lights and joy and happiness, and we have plans to be home for Christmas, and, well, truthfully, many of us feel anything but ho-ho happy. In fact, it can feel like it's winter. Winter in our heart, as if the witch, the white witch from the Chronicles of Narnia, has taken hold of us. And her wintry grip leaves us feeling that it's winter, all right, and Christmas never comes. So this season of Advent, this season where the world says, get ready for Christmas, and the church says, hear from this strange character, John the Baptist, we wonder, where is our hope as we find ourselves fighting for survival, discomforted, unfamiliar wilderness land? Do we hear hope in John the Baptist? Do we hear hope when he speaks of God's promise finally being fulfilled? Of course, for some of us, Advent is already full of hope, and this is a season of promise and joy and happiness, and these readings simply confirm that for us, that we do have much to celebrate. This is good news. So let the magic of the season continue. So no matter where you find yourself in Advent or this day, there is good news. Because this Gospel of Mark, as I said, doesn't open with angels and shepherds and the nativity story, but opens with the reminder of beginnings. And for the first hearers of this, hearing a sentence that begins with the beginning of the good news would immediately take them back to the Old Testament story of the first beginning. The beginning when there was hope and God was the actor. And in the beginning, God threw light into the sky and separated out of the chaotic darkness light, and threw stars in the sky and a sun, and gave light and life to the wilderness. And that's the hope that we still see shining in the dark night sky. And now here, this Gospel of Mark is opening with a new beginning, a beginning that proclaims that this is, just as the very beginning of creation, an ongoing and continuing story of God's good news for us today. So the Gospel of Mark says this is the beginning of the good news, and it took place 2,000 years ago, and it still is good news, especially when you are sitting in the wilderness wondering if you, like John the Baptist or Bear Grylls, are going to have to eat bugs to survive. In our readings today, we heard from Isaiah, that prophet of old. 600 years before John the Baptist, he was standing in a wilderness speaking to the people who were in Babylonian exile. They'd been captured and carried off. And he was speaking words of comfort, words of hope, words of forgiveness about how God's superhighway was going to be built in the desert, how the mountains and valleys were going to be brought to the same level, and how God's glory would be revealed. He proclaimed God's words. Do not fear. See, the Lord God comes in might and power. The Lord God comes in tenderness and love. Our God is and will and does triumph. These are words of joy spoken to people who sat in the midst of an uncomfortable, unfamiliar, suffering place called exile. And then 600 years later, those same words are echoed again, coming from the voice of a man who looks really rather odd. Dressed like a prophet of ancient times, like Isaiah or Micah or Zephaniah, this man, John, springs out of the wilderness sent by God to proclaim hope. To proclaim hope in the midst of Roman occupation, where fear and taxation and despair reign. The advent, the coming of the one so long promised is unfolding in front of you now, John the Baptist proclaims. The Messiah of the Lord is here, and he is coming, and he is more powerful. And he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and God's glory will shine, and the kingdom of God is coming. So, my friends, wherever you are in this wilderness, whether you're living in joy this Advent or whether you're living in the darkness and desolation of days, know that there is hope for you. Hope that comes in the voice of John the Baptist calling you, come to the water. Come and come, bring your sin, your sorrow, your fear. Come now. Come to the water and turn to a new way of life, God's way of life. And as you leave that river, you will see watery footsteps that mark your way as you drip with the renewal of God. So this day, we know the steadfast love and care of our shepherding God, who forgives and renews us, whose renewal we taste in the wine and bread. And we remember that this God did not come to ornate and elaborate palaces where powerful men cause trouble. This God did not come among warrior kings and the religious elite. But this God comes among the lowly ones, the downcast ones, the ones who live in wilderness wondering how they are going to survive. That's who our God came to first and brought them to the river of life to be forgiven and renewed in new life. So, in this season of Advent, while you wait for the holly jolly joy to happen, may you know a deeper, more abiding joy, a joy that comes from the Lord God Himself, a place where you can hear and trust the tender comfort of God's promise that it has arrived and it will come again. And each day is a new beginning as we acknowledge that our God reigns. Amen.